Final hour of the program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Last hour of the last fill-in shift, and then the great one, the Hall of Famer, Jim Rome, back with you on Monday. I will carve out time at the end of the program for all of the sincere thanks, although I'm terrible with clock management, so just in case I'm up against that hard break, whenever that might be, thanks as always to Jim for allowing me to be in this studio, be in this chair, interact with the greatest audience in sports media. Hopefully by now, because I've been doing this for the better part of four fortunate years, how much the show means to me has been articulated. I've been a clone for a very long time, and I have a great time with all of you. So if you want to try to slide in, 1-800-636-8686. Just one more guest along the way. Coming up in 40 minutes, we'll talk about the return of baseball with Joe Sheehan from Sports Illustrated. It's official. Opening nights between the reigning champs, the Nats and the Yankees, 6 days from today, will be played in D.C. That got confirmation today. That's how many variables baseball is dealing with because of what's happening with the virus in our nation's capital and the quarantine protocols. There was speculation the Nats might have to play in West Palm, their spring training home in Florida, or take it to Virginia. But when we finally have baseball back, it'll be played in a legitimate stadium. Oh, by the way, no fans. The Twitter handle is BW Weber. Emails RomanAvatake.com. Coming up, we'll get back to all the fallout from the dysfunctional NFL franchise in Washington. Plus, we'll talk about the immediate and long-term future of college sports. College football has to be played somehow, some way, somewhere, sometime. If it isn't, college sports goes away. Details coming up. The show within the show today, Tiger Woods related. Tiger had a inconsistent round two at the Memorial, although he got hot a little bit late to make it tantalizing. 4 over today, 3 over for the event with the projected cut line, 2 over. So we'll see if he can sneak in to weekend coverage on CBS. Hello, friends. So I threw it out there to you on social media. What mulligan would you use? I'm giving you a do-over. What would you change? And the tweets just keep on coming. Hitman Canadian, or the Canadian Hitman, either way. If I had a mulligan, I would have used a 5-iron instead of a pitching wedge. Signed, Elon Nordegren. 512 Lumber. If I had a mulligan, I would have beat Mike Tyson to getting that shark wrestling gig. Yours, Jim McElwain. Subtle. Have to think about it, but that was not Jim. Matt in Michigan, MM Davis 78. Can I have a mulligan on my mulligan? Signed, Alvy. Look, I thought that as candid, as personal, as in-depth Alvin DeLauro has ever been. Now, was it a bit? No, but not everything in life has to have comedic value. Look what I've tried to do for the last 2 hours. Swing and a miss. So when I asked Alvin, and he was gracious enough to crack open the mic, if I gave him a mulligan, we had a rather thorough explanation that in his heart of hearts, he wished he had followed his dream to be a fantasy football analyst. That's okay. Look, hey, I wanted to hold a microphone in my hand. You're going to have to pry it out of my dead hand at the end of the show for a living, and I made that dream come true. So, Alvin, there's still time. I will support that dream, and we'll get it done together. One more tweet as I go down the list. Wilson in the AO. If I had a mulligan, I would never put Alvin on the air. Thanks, Brian Weber. Listen, the XR4 Ti is integral in this program. I put Hawk on the air for 5 minutes, and he gave me a dissertation on every nuance of Tiger Woods' career, but skipped all of the independent model talk and VIP hostesses conveniently. Okay, more of your tweets coming up. I may or may not, because Adam's awake now. The Tiger's done playing. Bring in Adam coming up in about 15 minutes for his mulligan. I can only imagine what you view as a mulligan with the series of strange decisions you've made in your life. And because I'm self-indulgent, I'll save mine for the end. I'm deciding between the time I got my name wrong, starting one of the biggest broadcasts of my life, said my co-host's name, that's coming up, or the time I broke up with a girlfriend via voicemail on Christmas Eve because she did not wish me a Merry Christmas when we spoke earlier in the day. That's coming up, but first, let's talk a little bit more about what's happening in Washington, because the story that finally dropped yesterday after all of the internet speculation was certainly troubling and the allegations devastating, but in all candor, were you surprised? Because we're talking about Washington here. So by now you've heard the details. 15 female employees telling the paper they dealt with consistent sexual harassment and verbal abuse, allegations covering 13 years. And what a coinkydink. Before the article dropped yesterday, over the span of roughly 5 days, we saw two senior player personnel executives fired. About 48 hours later, the longtime radio voice of the Redskins, quote unquote, retired. And don't you know, all three of those people were named as the alleged wrongdoers within a toxic workplace. Now, importantly, Dan Snyder is not the person who's the focus of this expose, because there are no direct allegations that Snyder or his former team president, Bruce Allen, did anything untoward to these former employees. But that's not the key takeaway, because Dan Snyder is one of 32 people or families that are part of the most exclusive club in all of sports, NFL owners. And if Roger Goodell really believes in that personal conduct policy that he instituted years ago as part of his legacy, he was going to be the law and order commissioner, well, then owners should be held to a higher standard than players. Because thousands of players come in and out of the NFL. There's only 32 ownership groups. And Dan Snyder, if you just want to talk football, has an abysmal resume. Worst winning percentage in all of football over the last 19 years since he bought the team and ran it into the ground. Finally, earlier this week, on Monday, retired. And the timing there seems more than coincidental. A little PR spin, get ahead of a negative story with what was long overdue to pretend we're an enlightened organization. And hours before the story dropped yesterday, the team proactively announcing they have retained, quote unquote, an independent law firm to conduct a thorough investigation. So what's the end game? Is Dan Snyder going to lose the franchise? I don't think so, because there's no causal link directly between these allegations and his individual behavior. And he put out a nonsensical statement because he's hiding on some yacht in international waters. I won't read the whole thing, but to me, the key element today, because we finally, in the form of a statement, got something from Snyder. Behavior described in yesterday's Washington Post has no place in our franchise or society. This story has strengthened my commitment to setting a new culture and standard for our team, a process that began with the hiring of Coach Rivera earlier this year. Ron Rivera now has the most challenging job in all of sports. Fix a team that has had virtually nothing positive to offer on the field. Does not have a team president right now. Ron Rivera also intimately involved in the imagination and exploration of a new nickname for the franchise. And now he's got to be the senior vice president of human resources. Hey, Ron, camp starts allegedly, and we'll talk about that momentarily. Camp starts at the end of the month. Sign up right now for an executive NBA online, because you're going to have a lot of time when you're trying to decide who's going to make the final 53-man roster to bone up on human relations, because Dan Snyder won't fix his own toxic house. Of course, it's a joke. The league has known this for years, but I don't think they're going to move on Snyder because they don't want to set the precedent, unlike Jerry Richardson, in which there were detailed allegations and a expose by Sports Illustrated that the owner was directly involved in racist and sexist behavior. There's no smoking gun, quote unquote, for Snyder. But it doesn't matter. If he didn't know, he should have known, because he has one of the most unique positions in all of sports, one of 32 NFL owners. Coming up on Monday, rookies for both the Texans and Chiefs are scheduled to report, but the NFL still hasn't worked out all the details from a standpoint of safety and health, and all of the financial ramifications of a season that presumably is not going to have more than 25% of fans allowed at some stadiums. Today is Friday. Monday is the date to kick off training camps. How is it possible that a league that is so renowned for its ability to get ahead of stories and monetize everything, how is it possible they had all of this time to get ready, and like a kid in junior college pulling an all-nighter trying to get the paper done before it's due coming up in 8 hours? This is nonsensical. But I don't think it's going to derail the NFL because nothing has slowed them down. We're in the midst of a pandemic in March. Let's continue with free agency. Can't have the draft in person in Vegas. We're putting it on TV virtually, getting monster numbers. Putting out the schedule. Let's make that a celebration as always. And now apparently, with or without the consent of the Players Association, they're opening these camps. NFL is mystifying that they had all of this time and they still haven't been able to figure out the salient details, but the NFL does whatever they want to do because we've given them a license to print money, unlike college football, because college football features players who don't get compensated. Skip the value of a scholarship today. But undeniably, those who produce the revenue don't get the cash in college sports. And I think the most underreported item of the week, with SEC athletic directors meeting in person this week, was the announcement that the conference is going to push back the start of the seasons for women's volleyball and soccer, but no announcement was made about football. And I know you don't care about most sports beyond the gridiron, but what's significant there is this. If football is played somehow, some way, and I think only the SEC has a shot because, like the NFL, they're going to try to plow forward despite what's going on around the various states in that conference. If you play football, you have to play volleyball, you have to play soccer, because these universities have the illusion, and we know it's all window dressing, that football players are equal to everybody else. They're all, quote unquote, student athletes, even though we know, undeniably, football pays the bills for everybody else. So that's one thing that has been underreported. If football is actually going to be attempted to be played in the fall, you got to have gender equity. Title IX means something. So just ramp up all of the testing and all of the students that you're putting on campus and on athletic fields in harm's way beyond the 80 football players that are showing up, so they can run the risk of picking up the virus to pay the bills for the rest of the athletic department. College football will not be played in most of the country this fall. I can't speak about the SEC because they're the NFL light, and they're going to do everything they can to get out there, but I don't think it's going to be their decision. Government officials will get involved, but all right, we're just talking about Georgia football, right? The pageantry of playing between the hedges in Athens. The governor of Georgia can't figure out what the uniform mask policy should be in that state. And you're telling me we're playing college football with 18 to 22-year-old kids who don't get paid Labor Day weekend? I just don't see it. So logically, if we're talking about the balance of the Power Five, I won't speak about the SEC because I think they're going to move blindly ahead as long as they can. But the rest of the conferences you care about, they're going to go this spring because they have to. Because if college football is not played, we don't have college sports anymore. It's the economic driver of what's become a bloated multi-billion dollar industry. And if you're looking for a positive in addition to Adam Hawks mulligan that's on the way, if you've been clamoring for an expanded college football playoff, it's coming. Because let's say college football moves to the spring and plays fewer games, especially because they don't want to cannibalize the ratings of March Madness. Either way, this has been already a hugely negative year economically for college sports. There was no NCAA tournament in March. What's the golden ticket financially that college football still has to play? What can they tear out of their pocket and say, here is our license to print money? It's an expanded college football playoff. So if you have been clamoring to bump the Final Four up to six or eight, forget about the contract. Forget about it. It's going to take years of negotiating to alter the terms. It's coming. And it's coming within 2 or 3 years because college football will be so desperate for the cash to pay the bills for everything else happening on campus. They're going to have to expand that playoff just to enhance the bottom line, which is getting brutalized by current events. 1-800-636-8686. Email rome@havatake.com. Twitter is your best way to get involved. That's B.W. Weber. Coming up in 25 minutes, we talk baseball with Joe Sheehan of Sports Illustrated. Straight ahead, it's going to be hard to surpass what Alvin DeLauro already did. Adam Hawk will share his mulligan. This should be fascinating. Plus, if sports go away again, how many of you will drift away permanently? That's coming up. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. You're in the jungle on a Friday. It's CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It's the business end of the program. Brian Weber back with you on a Friday on CBS Sports Radio.
Business is business.
Jim Rome back on Monday. We still have plenty of content to get to in a remaining less than 40 minutes. Coming up in 15 minutes, baseball 6 days away. We will take you inside the diamond with one of the most insightful analysts in our industry. It's Joe Sheehan from Baseball America, Sports Illustrated, and the Joe Sheehan newsletter. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter. After the show was cool as well, because I'm going to have a lot of free time again after the program. B.W. Weber, Weber with two B's. Coming up, I'll give you some big picture thoughts without being too negative, because I know that's my default switch, so I want to correct the notion of always assuming the worst, and I want to dispel the notion that there are people in our business rooting against sports. How foolish, how self-defeating, how narrow-minded do you think those of us in the sports media are, if for no other reason than simply following the money? If there's no sports, a lot of us who work on the air have major financial issues and career struggles to deal with. So I'm not rooting against sports, but I'm just going to lay out a couple reasons why I think there is a probability that some of the folks who claim they love sports, and if you're listening to a fill-in host in the summer, you obviously are hardcore when it comes to sports. I'm not worried about you, but I think there are fringe fans that might disappear if the games start, say in baseball and basketball, and go away. We'll get there coming up. Speaking of a hardcore fan, a man who was telling me before the show about his favorite Larry Holmes memories, the Easton Assassin, a guy who was allegedly the executive producer of this program but took the first 90 minutes off to watch Tiger Woods scuffle his way across the course at Jack's event, the Memorial. It is Adam Hawk. Adam, hello. The topic, if I can refresh your mind, mulligans. If I gave you a do-over, other than saying, hey, Jim Rome, I know this guy, Brian Weber, he might be willing to fill in. Clearly, that was an error of judgment years ago that you can't unring that bell. If I gave you a mulligan, what would you do over in your rich and unusual life?
This is such a deep question. When you originally put this to us early on in the day, you know, you can go a number of different ways with it. You can go comedy, you can go serious, you can go Alvin DeLauro and just give a dissertation on his life and where it went wrong. You know, a lot of people would think that I would go back and change how poorly I did in school so I could get into a college.
I was going to say, which school? Because I believe there's 5 junior colleges or community colleges?
3 of them. Okay. But, you know, I could have done better and gone to a real college and had that kind of experience. I actually wouldn't change that because that would have changed the entire outcome of my life. You know, and then I thought, maybe I would go back and not recommend Robert Dasmati for this gig because I championed so hard for him. And then he quit 7 months in.
He's filling potholes. He's doing civic duty. That's more important than screening calls.
That's why I don't regret recommending him, even though he made me look horrible. So it wouldn't be that. But I actually have 2 mulligans, and I'm going to treat this like golf because I take 2 mulligans in golf, 1 on the front, 1 on the back. So I'm going to give you 2, Brian. The first is selling my 1992 Toyota 4Runner. I think everyone in life has a car that they wish they had never gotten away from. Do you have one of those? Do you have an old car that you wish you still had today?
No, I'm still driving it. You saw the sled I showed up with. No, I'm not a car guy. I don't even know where the oil is. Forget about trying to change it. So, yeah, I'm not that big into pimp my ride culture.
Neither am I, but they made cars differently back in the 90s. Now it's all like plastic and just stupid looking. And I just wish that I still had this 1992 Toyota 4Runner. It was a manual. It was just a gorgeous rig. And I don't have it anymore. And I think about that car often. So that would be mulligan number 1. I would have never gotten rid of the 1992 forest green 4-wheel drive Toyota 4Runner. But really, if I had 1 mulligan, I would go back to when I was in junior high and I misplaced my retainer.
Oh, and hell to pay for that.
Yeah, well, the hell to pay still I'm paying today. I have what's called a snaggle tooth on my bottom row of teeth.
We're going to break down your chiclets now?
Well, it's this tooth that protrudes, and every time I talk or smile, it's very obvious. It looks like a pirate tooth. I'm very self-conscious about it, and all I had to do was keep track of this retainer. Now, I took this retainer out at the movie theater during Josie and the Pussycats, which was a great movie.
Terrible movie.
It was terrible.
Awful movie.
But I went with a girl in junior high, and I took the retainer out, Brian, because back in the day, the only place you could ever, ever kiss a girl was at the movie theaters. There were no parents.
Wasn't
that
presumptuous
dark.
Of you? You thought it was a done deal? You could make that move? Bust a move?
Yes, because I had these gorgeous straight teeth because I had just got done wearing braces for 2 years. The retainer came out. The retainer was left in the cup holder at the movie theater. And now, for the last 15, 20 years, I've had the snaggle tooth that started to shift back to where it was before braces the day that I went and saw Josie and the Pussycats.
I applaud your honesty.
Thank you.
Alvin, can you go back and check the tape? Who went longer and said nothing, you or Adam Hawk?
I said something. I don't have the car that I wish I had, and I've got messed up teeth because I left a retainer at the movie theater in junior high. And that is a massive mulligan. I would like to go back and just keep the retainer in.
May I ask the obvious question? Did you close the deal inside the movie theater?
Nope. Nope. I actually, to be completely honest with you, I chickened out of the move. You know, when you're a kid, making a move is like the scariest thing in the entire world. You're thinking about it the entire time. That's why I don't really remember the movie well. All I remember is nothing happened except I left my retainer. And now I look like a jackass with shark teeth on the bottom row. And I don't want to fix it because I asked recently how much an Invisalign costs.
Not cheap.
Not cheap and not covered by insurance.
Mm.
So we're talking like $2,000 to repair the snaggle teeth.
Don't you have golf merchandise money now flowing in?
The thing about a startup business, Brian, is that you don't mess with what's in the bank.
Oh, thank you, Shark Tank. I was not aware of that. Okay.
Yeah. You want to build up a certain nest and don't withdraw from it. You know, we're a new company, so as the money is accumulating, we're just letting it be because we will incur costs as we go on, advertising, marketing, all that stuff. So, no, I'm not spending Nation Golf money to fix my snaggle tooth.
I don't know that it was entertaining, but it was from the heart, and I thank you for taking us a place I did not think we would go. And the same thing with Alvin. Look, I, of course, am a hack. I have scripted my bit. So when I do the mulligans at the end of the show, at least there'll be a punchline there. I think you just figured this was Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew, and you're just going to bare your soul.
This is an insane question to ask people because you're essentially asking what's your biggest regret in life. And that's a really hard question to think about. Whereas the clones and the JTP just get to write jokes where they're signing it as other people, like 12 Wood, who wrote in, "My mulligan would be pulling back on the control wheel," signed John Denver. That's easy. He gets to do that, right?
Right.
I have to sign it as myself because you're bringing me on as me.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's my regret.
You're taking me places I never envisioned.
Well, you're asking questions I never thought I'd be asked.
You can't handle the truth. This is not a dopey
There's
sports
no
show. Just because you got the fill-in hack, occasionally, Adam Hawk will bare his soul. Adam, thank you. And you just saved me from myself because I had this dystopian on a Big Word Friday outlook for what could happen throughout professional sports. And it's a Friday. No need for a decade, yeah, but let's keep it light. I can do it in 30 seconds. When the games come back and then go away, and unfortunately I think that's what's going to happen in baseball, the NBA, I think the NFL, as Brian Baldinger from NFL Network, our number one guest suggested, NFL will get close to the scheduled kickoff game on a Thursday night between the Texans and the Chiefs with their rookies coming to camp on Monday, a couple days from now. NFL will decide, given current events, they're not going to play the first month of the season. They'll hit the pause button, and then they'll backload the schedule. Those games will be made up in February, pushing the Super Bowl back maybe not March. But when all this happens, and I'm not rooting for this because this is my business. This is the business we have chosen, Godfather 2. I do think there's a chance for a good portion of casual fans who have 5,000 channels to choose from opting out because watching a AAU tournament disguised as NBA games in a bubble in Orlando with no fans won't be captivating to them, even with fake crowd noise. You and I are going to watch and listen to everything because we love this stuff. But I do think there's a segment of potential sports consumers that may go away and never come back until, quote unquote, we return to normalcy. And obviously there'll be implications for our industry, but we'll save that for my podcast, Dollars and Cents with B-Web. Adam Hawk will join me coming up to discuss all of the dynamics of running a startup. Thank you, Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful, joining us on the program. Straight ahead, we wrap it up talking baseball. Plus, I'll find time for more of your tweets with your mulligan. I'll give you a do-over, anything you want to rectify in your life, and I'll share a story or two before we say goodbye. But coming up, we'll get baseball analysis with the season starting in 6 days. Will MLB actually finish the year? Will they crown a champion? We're talking baseball with Joe Sheehan of Sports Illustrated. That's coming up. Now it's time for a sports update. Let's check in with Rich Ackerman. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome, CBS Sports Radio. Final segment for me. And then thankfully for all of you, Jim returns from the basement on Monday. But I want to wrap up this program with style points, getting you set for the return of baseball. The season will start 6 days from today. Pleased to be joined by Joe Sheehan. He's covered MLB for many years. You've read his fine work in Sports Illustrated. Check out the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. Joe, it's been a while. Thanks for taking the time. How are you?
Good, Brian. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you being available. Okay, and I don't want to give you an either-or proposition, and you can take it any way you want to go. But considering we could have had a baseball season of better than 100 games, are you viewing the 60-game solution as illegitimate? Or some people say this could be the wildest sprint, the craziest, momentum-filled baseball season we've ever seen.
Probably more the latter. I don't think anybody's ever going to look at, whether it was 60 or 81 or 100, ever going to compare this to a 162-game season. Look, it's always going to be the coronavirus season. So the number of games I don't think matters all that much. And as you say, Brian, when you just basically turn a season into just a pennant race, a lot of fun things can happen. I think it's a tank-proof season. If you're the Tigers, the Orioles, the Royals, one of these teams that wasn't planning on trying to win this year, go for it. Play your young players. Play all your best kids. See what you can do. So I think there are silver linings to this particular cloud.
Joe, in our previous conversations, I've had to take away your open-minded, certainly not a purist, when it comes to baseball. So what do you make of the new rules we're going to see over the 60-game regular season? Universal DH and barring from softball with a runner in scoring position if we're tied going to the 10th inning.
Yeah, I'm in favor of the DH. I think it's something that's been coming for a long time. We may never see pitchers bat again. We'll see how that goes this year and what they come up with for next year. But, you know, pitchers have been overwhelmed at the plate for a while now. And it's not just in recent years. You can go back and when they first started letting pitchers throw overhand, pitchers were the worst hitters in baseball, and it's just gotten worse. So I think the DH will be a positive. As far as the softball rule, man, I just as soon as see them go to ties after 10 innings. It's a gimmick. It's a gimmick. And when you look at it, it doesn't really save you all that much. It's not like playing baseball for 10 innings is dangerous, but that 11th inning is where everybody's going to catch the virus. I know there are scheduling reasons. They just want to keep things calm, I think, but I don't know. I have a real problem with it. I think that you could have just said ties and gone with, you could have just gone with regular extra innings, but it's going to, from what I hear, you get used to it in the minor leagues, but I have to say that you call me a purist. I'm a little bit of a purist. I don't like it at all.
Talking baseball with Joe Sheehan of Sports Illustrated and the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. Joe, so we know now the details of opening night. We knew it was going to be the Yankees and the Nationals. Confirmation, the Nats can play in D.C. after speculation they might have to take the franchise to Florida or play in Virginia. So when we see the Yankees on a national stage, Gerrit Cole, the bright new addition, should be on the mound. We know about all the power the Bronx Bombers have as well, but certainly baseball doesn't feature any perfect teams. What do you think the Yankees' biggest areas of concern are?
Health has to be the big one. You know, this is a team that last year had a ton of injuries and got all of these great performances from fairly unheralded players. You look at what Gio Urshela gave them at third base. Look at what they got out of Cameron Maben out of the outfield. Real surprise. You know, how much are they going to get this year from Aaron Judge, who's still having, you know, he's having neck problems, could be connected to the rib issue he had in the spring. You look at Giancarlo Stanton, who seems like always has something going on. How many games are those two guys going to play? Because they need that power in the middle of the line. Look, I'm a big Gleyber Torres fan. We saw what DJ LeMahieu did last year. But this offense starts and begins with those two big right-handed power backs.
Joe, if we think about the veterans who have opted out, in part because they have financial security, David Price deciding not to play for his new team, the Dodgers, projected to be a third starter in that rotation. How much do you think they miss him if depth is going to be an asset on the mound? And where do you slot L.A. amongst the elite teams in the National League or perhaps to win it all? I mean, the view from Vegas says the Dodgers could be the prohibitive favorite along with the Yankees.
I have the Dodgers as the best team in baseball, and you mentioned one of the reasons why. They can lose a David Price and not really feel it. They have so much pitching depth at the upper levels. Guys like Ross Stripling, who they almost traded, Dustin May, who came up last year, he'll get some starts for them this year. They're going to put Julio Urias, a longtime left-handed power prospect, in the rotation this year. They just have an incredible amount of depth. So, yeah, you lose a David Price, a good number three starter that hurts you a little bit. But to me, one of the big losses, Brian, this year is not seeing what this Dodgers team might have done over 162 games. I mean, they won 106 last year, and they went out and traded for Betson Price. I think they could have won 110 or even challenged the Mariners' record of 116.
Spotlighting baseball with Joe Sheehan of Sports Illustrated. Joe, not surprisingly, a major topic today has been the NFL team in Washington. If the NFL plays this year, they're going to have a new moniker the next time they take the field. In baseball, the Cleveland Indians say they're reviewing the name of their franchise as well. Do you think it's a done deal? Cleveland will have a new nickname as soon as next season.
They've certainly phased out the Chief Wahoo logo.
Well, they should have done that years ago, obviously.
Yeah, so that's the first step along the way. I think you're seeing with the Washington football team changing its name, there's some momentum in this direction. The Braves have, they're trying to reduce the amount that they use the tomahawk chop, which is also an offensive gesture. We're in a moment now where we're starting to look at things that we accepted for 50, 100 years and say, hey, look, how does this look through the frame of trying to treat people better, trying to be respectful to people who don't look like Brian, you and I? So I think it's a good thing for, forget whether you're going to convince 40, 50, 60-year-old baseball and football fans this is a good thing, but if you show 10-year-old, 15-year-old kids, hey, it's not right to use these terms, I think it's a good thing, and it's another way that sports can lead.
Joe, it feels like we could see some unusual things, given that it's just a 60-game season. So if we're going to move beyond the usual suspects, the Yankees, the Dodgers, dig deeper. Are there a couple surprise teams that jump out to you? I've been reading a lot about the Reds. They seem intriguing based on what they offer on the mound.
I think the Reds were coming into this season as a popular sleeper target. When you look at trading for Trevor Bauer last year, signing Mike Moustakas, signing Nicholas Castellanos, signing Shigo Akiyama, play center, they have a lot of talent there. So I'm not sure I'd look at them as a sleeper because it's a short season. But the thing about a short season is that teams can, as I said before, if you thought you were going to tank over 162 games, you don't have to do that now. And I look at the Tigers. They have three of the top 35 prospects in baseball in pitchers Tarik Skubal, Casey Mize, and Matt Manning. So instead of running Jordan Zimmermann and Ivan Nova out there just because you thought you were going to lose anyway, take these guys, put them in the major leagues. You're only going to need to get 9 or 10 starts out of them anyway. You have no minor leagues in which to train to bring them up, so they need the reps. There are developmental reasons. There are competitive reasons. There are all kinds of reasons for a team like the Tigers to put their best players on the mound and maybe steal a division title.
Joe, I appreciate the information. Thanks so much for making the time to chat with us today. Look forward to having more baseball conversations with you in the future here on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks, Brian. Take care.
Joe Sheehan, Sports Illustrated. Check out the Joe Sheehan baseball newsletter. It's terrific. That's going to be our huge call today. As you get back to business, Grainger's there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry, free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger for the ones who get it done. In our remaining minutes, got to pay off the mulligan bit. I'll share a thought or two. Although Adam Hawk now has gotten me a little bit too introspective. A thought or two about things I would change in my life. As always, Twitter interaction's been great. A lot of analysis. And Adam Hawk going into the confessional and bearing his soul. Francis in Glendale. Does Adam Hawk's bottom row of teeth look like a bunch of soccer players playing wall defense during a free kick? Wilson in the AO. Adam Hawk, you sound so cute. Hit me up on snaggletoothtennistinder.com. Love, Jewel. I'm glad you're getting it today, pal. Instead of me, Canadian Hitman. Oh, boo-hoo. Adam Hawk left a retainer behind. Please, signed, Lenny Dykstra.
Happy Sunday. Happy. Get the bottom ones out. I don't like the bottom ones.
With two lumber. Slow down, Hawk. My pencil can't keep up. Signed, Hawk Psychiatrist. Dear Brian Weber with two B's, there is a yin and a yang. There is an ebony and ivory. Now we have Jewel's top row to Hawk's bottom row. War, my 94 Nissan Pathfinder, the one I wrecked. Signed, Jake in NYC. No Billy Joel illusion in there as well? Now John at the bar is a friend of mine. As I think about that, he did wreck the car, did not drive it right through somebody's domicile. Stucknut, the archivist of this extraordinary program, Stephen H-Town. You can do a lot more than kissing at a movie theater. Signed, Pee Wee Herman.
Because I don't make monkeys, I just train them.
Okay. That could be my mulligan. Folks, there's a thing called pre-reading, where as I scan a document as a trained broadcaster, theoretically, the broadcast lessons should pay off now. I could process the information and not read it aloud, but I have trust for a man who took us to a very dark place. I thought the darkest thing that occurred over my five fill-in shifts was talking about my father not being thrilled when I went to fat camp for the second year. Instead, Hawk has raised the stakes. Thankfully, though, Jim is back on Monday, and you can lob him next week and ask the pros question, where you, the clones, get to submit a question at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. With a minute left, I will not give you the morbid details of my extensive mulligan, but here's the punchline. A relationship about a decade ago, and probably the last relationship I had, other than this microphone, I'm taking it with me. Fill-in radio, morning radio, shocking I would work on Christmas Eve. The relationship in its early stages, our first holidays together. On the phone, not going to see her because she's leaving for Christmas to be with her family. I didn't get a Merry Christmas when the phone was hung up. That enraged me so much. I called back an hour later, got a voicemail, and broke up with her on a voicemail on Christmas Eve because I'm out of my mind.
And it's over just that quickly.
Weber knocks himself out. As always, so many people to thank. Thanks to Jim. Thanks to Craig Kitchen, Mark Chertoff, and the great people at CBS Sports Radio. Thanks to Adam, Alvin, all of the clones. Tremendous work on the calls, tweets, and emails. Have a great weekend. Jim is back on Monday on CBS Sports Radio.